Well, the poll that indicates overwhelming support for the school bonds had a mixed bag of news for CMS in general. Nearly a quarter of those polls said they were less confident in the school system today compared to a year ago. 10% were more confident. 46% felt the same. The poll comes on the heels of the controversial student assignment plan and the arrival of Clayton Wilcox as school superintendent, the system's fifth in a decade. The poll's results provide some things for both voters and candidates for school board to think about in the upcoming election. There are six district seats up for grabs, and three are guaranteed to have new faces because the incumbents have decided not to run. We're going to get the expertise of two of the area's education reporters to talk about all of this. Ann Doss Helms is education reporter for the Charlotte Observer and a frequent panelist on our Friday News Roundups. Welcome back. Weren't you
Thank
just
you.
Here?
Is it Friday News Roundup again? This
it
week
is.
Has flown by.
And Dedrick Russell, WBTV's education reporter. Welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank
morning.
You.
You wrote, Ann, and we talked about this before on this program, that you believe the school board election deserves at least as much attention as the mayor's race. Why?
Well, for one thing, that same poll showed when people asked what they were concerned about in the mayor's race, education was the number one priority. And if you are spending your time trying to figure out whether Vi Lyles or Kenny Smith is the best person to fix education, you're wasting your time. Stop. They don't have that job. The people who have that job are the school board. And these six members who are being elected by district, these seats were created in the mid-90s. Before that, they were all elected countywide. You tended to have a lot of white people from the most affluent neighborhoods. These seats were created to give you not only people who represent the whole district, but who serve as a voice for your neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Is that working from the roster of candidates that you've seen out there?
Well, people have a distinct choice. So again, if you just go in and if you either don't bother to vote or you go in and you say, oh man, I didn't bother to look up the candidates and I'm going to flip a coin, you are not going to like these candidates equally. You have a serious choice, and that's a good thing.
So, Dedrick, are people following this race? Is the media covering this race as well as it's covering the horse race between Kenny Smith and Vi Lyles?
Well, I believe that wherever you go, there are news outlets that are covering the school board race. The voters just have to do their homework and find out where they can get that information.
It's hard to cover this race. There's so many people, and it's not as sexy as the mayor's race.
Well, it depends. It depends. You know, you have student assignment, you have the bonds, you have the equity committee that people are trying to come back. You're trying to talk about the education of African Americans. Mm-hmm. So there are issues out there that people are concerned about. I think the problem is that people don't know how to navigate how to fix that problem.
Yeah.
Instead, like Ann was saying, instead of people looking at the mayor to fix the school problem, they need to look at their school board members.
Yeah.
And you just have to learn how to navigate that. So it is a very, very important race, because keep in mind that whoever wins, they will be in that seat for the next 4 years. Not like 2 years like the mayor, but 4 years. And that could be a life-changing, a game-changing for some students who are still stuck in some low-performing schools.
And the thing that makes it tough for us in the media, which is that each person votes in only one district,
yeah,
makes it easier for the voters. So you don't have to know these 19 candidates. You have
right.
to know
yours.
What district you're in. And I have put links in every story I've written saying, here, click on this and look yourself up.
And there are 2 to 4 candidates in these districts, which we'll talk about when we come back from the break. But how many races are there?
Six races.
How many people?
19. There will be 20 on the ballot. There's one person who's not actually running who's on the ballot.
And is part of the problem here that these are nonpartisan races and people tend to vote Republican, Democrat, or pick between the two?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There are nonpartisan. So you just have to go for the best candidate and the person who is going
Although
to be
Although the parties
best.
Will be working to let you know who their people are.
All right.
There are some endorsements out there, you know, like the Black Political Caucus, Charlotte Mecklenburg Association.
We have to
of
stop.
Educators.
We must
okay.
stop. We're right. coming right back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the school board races because there are 6 districts for which there are candidates in play for the November election. Dedrick Russell is here from WBTV News. He's the education reporter there. And Doss Helms serves the same function for the Charlotte Observer. So let's talk about these races, and let's go through them numerically. Let's start with District 1, which is in northern Mecklenburg County, which is a hotbed of...
Yeah, it's a good transition because we were just talking about the dynamics of District 1, and it kind of sits up on top of the county like a hat with ear flaps. Most of it is the north suburbs, Davidson, Cornelius, Huntersville, but there are these 2 little parts that drop down into Charlotte, and so you have, you know, some city dynamics. You have, it's actually a majority, slim plurality Democratic district, which surprised me. So you've got Rhonda Lennon as the incumbent, has served two terms, running for a third, and she is kind of the quintessential suburban candidate. She
and even though this is a nonpartisan race, it could be argued she's a Republican.
She is a Republican, uh-huh. And the Republicans will be letting people know that. The other two are Democrats.
Right. Okay.
She emerged as a parent activist during one of these rounds that Jim Puckett talked about when they got overlooked in construction. She has been kind of a voice for the people up there who love their schools and are suspicious of Charlotte sometimes. And so now she's got two challengers, both of whom live in Charlotte, one in the Northwest and one in the Northeast.
So let's be clear here. The challengers are Annette Albright and Jess Miller, although Amy Hallman will be on the ballot.
Yes. So you can vote for Amy, but she has not campaigned. She has not run. She
changed her mind after
submitting. Yeah, and it's a weird dynamic that there's a point at which you can get on, but you can't get off the ballot. So
right. That's
what happened to her.
So her name will be there, but she doesn't want to serve, and she's not really running. So that leaves three. Jess Miller and Rhonda Lennon both oppose the bonds, while Annette Albright supports them. Is that going to be the key issue in this race, Dendrick, the bonds?
Well, it might. Well, District 1, as you just talked about it,
mm-hmm.
They're against the bond, like Norman Charter, Chamber of Commerce, Huntersville. They're all against the bond, so that may fare well for them.
Are the people against the bond?
Well, you know, I did that story on Friday, and when I was trying to get some talking to parents, some of them didn't even know that there was a bond referendum on this year's ballot in a few weeks. So I found that very interesting when I tried to talk to them. I went to Cornelius Elementary School. I talked to some parents. They said, oh, I didn't know. So that's going to be very interesting how the bonds will play into that. But I wanted to say that two of the candidates, they work for charter schools. So it's going to be a very interesting dynamic. Jess Miller and Annette Albright, they are employees of charter schools. And some people would say, you know, can you be an employee of a charter school and still be on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board? So I think that is going to be an interesting dynamic for District 1
race
as well.
And the flip side would be that Annette Albright has worked for Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools, she will be suing herself if she wins,
right.
Because she's suing the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Board of Education over the way her dismissal played out. She was attacked by students, basically, at Harding High. And we probably don't have time to delve deep into that. Jess Miller does not have children, has done some contract work for CMS, but does attend.
She's working to launch her own charter school, I believe.
Yes, but she does attend a lot of board meetings. She has been paying attention and is invested in what's going on with CMS. So I don't think any of them is totally clueless. I don't think any of them is just, you know, a bomb chucker trying to destroy the school system. But it's a clear, distinct choice that they will have in District 1.
So District 2, this race pits two people with a history of public education, incumbent Thelma Byers-Bailey and Lenora Shipp. Byers-Bailey is seeking her second term. She's a retired lawyer. Shipp is a retired CMS principal. And for people who don't know, what part of town does District 2 fall in?
2 is West Charlotte, kind of the historic black part of Charlotte, and it is also Southwest Charlotte, which is probably one of the fastest growing and changing parts of Charlotte and will continue to be for many years to come.
Hmm. This is a district that will benefit from the school bond package passing. Both these candidates support the mix of neighborhood schools and magnets that will come out of the student assignment plan. So what are the issues here, Dendrick? I mean, is there a difference between these two candidates?
Well, I guess when you go with District 2, that is a large population of your African American population there. You got Bruns and you have and Project Lift. So that district really needs to step forward. And when it comes to the education of all students, I know that the equity committee, that once upon a time there was an equity committee formed in CMS to make sure that no matter your zip code, that you are getting the same type of resources that you would get at a West Charlotte High, that you would get at Audrey Kale High School. Mm-hmm. So, and District 2 is known as a district that fights for its people. The former District 2, Velma Leek, so everyone knows Velma Leek, that she was a fighter for District 2. So District 2 is known and is used to having someone at the dais fighting for them, fighting for everything. You know, you have Thelma Byers-Bailey, who unseated Richard McElrath, and you have Lenora Shipp. So that is an area where people want to make sure that the kids are getting the education. Because when you look at the test scores there at the District 2, we're talking about a 30% proficiency rate, 20% proficiency rate. And I think the community now is saying enough is enough.
Yep.
We want to make sure that our students are getting a well-rounded education. And when they graduate from high school, that they will be college and career ready. And when you look at the test scores, that is not the case. So this next person, all eyes will be on that person to make sure that things get better mm-hmm. for District 2 and that the project lift, that things get better, because they're saying no more.
And I think what Lenora Shipp would say is, I've been in those schools.
Right.
I've run schools throughout that district. I know actually what it takes to make a turnaround. And what Thelma Byers-Bailey is likely to say is, we've got this bond package. We got, whether you like it or not, if you're Jim Puckett, you know, we got these two major projects for our people, and I made that motion. I made that happen.
The other district just said this is historically African-American area of this district, but you point out in an article you wrote not too long ago, Anne, that this is also an area that is overflowing suddenly with newcomers. What dynamic is that going to play in all of this? They may not have the same interests as the population, so to speak.
Well, just look at Bruns Elementary School. The new people in there, they fought for a new Bruns Academy. That's a K-8 school, and they fought to make it a K-5 school. So you have more educated people who are coming into District 2. You have people who know how to fight, people who won't give up, and they got a return on their investment, because at the end of the day, there is a new West Charlotte on this bond referendum and a new Bruns Academy on this bond referendum. So I think you have people who are banding together to make sure, hey, let's go march down to wherever we need to do in order to get what we need to get. And an interesting thing, you know, recently I moderated a school board for the Black Political Caucus, and they had to do a questionnaire on grading the school board. Thelma Byers-Bailey and Lenora Shipp, they both gave the school board a D when it Wow. comes to responding to the African-American concerns of the African-American community. So I thought that was very interesting, that here you have the school board, and the school board gave herself a D for responding to a majority of the people who she serves. So that's very interesting.
So before we don't want to run out of time before we hit all six districts, where's District 3?
Sort of northwest, basically. University City area is the best known part of it, a very economically, ethnically, racially diverse community, although majority Black and majority Democratic.
So there are a lot of people in this race in District 3, six people. The incumbent is Ruby Jones, but she was appointed to the seat in 2015 when Joyce Waddell was elected to the state Senate. So no one in this district has ever been elected to a position on the school board. Will that make a difference?
I think this may be the toughest race for voters, because there's not some clear, distinct issue that either you're for this or against that. All of them have some credibility of saying, I've done this to be involved with the school district. None of them, well, Ruby Jones does have a record. She's been there for, as Dedrick pointed out, these terms are so long that even a partial term is longer than a full term on the city. So she has a record. She will be an incumbent. But there are basically three sort of really veteran, longtime, over 60 people who may be splitting kind of that community, and there are three younger challengers.
So we have Ruby Jones, Emmett Butts, Lavester Flowers, Janine Bryant, Blanche Penn, and Olivia Scott. How do you pick them apart? How do you make a decision? What are they running on?
You know, it's like name recognition. You know, when you go into the ballot, you know, if you don't know what the issues are and what you're looking for, you're just going to say, name recognition.
How do you find those issues? How do you find the candidate's position on X, Y, or Z?
Well, we have, and I think you probably have the link at your WFAE Charlotte Talks page. We have done a questionnaire. Lots of groups have done questionnaires. Groups are doing endorsements. I think in this group, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Educators is endorsing Ruby Jones. Blanche Penn, who is a longtime activist but first-time candidate, has the Black Political Caucus endorsement. You just need to look them up. They all have websites. Some are doing better than others at reaching out to the community. I would say Ruby Jones, Blanche Penn, and Lavester Flowers are all kind of the older generation, well-known within certain circles. Janine Bryant is younger, a former Teach for America teacher. NCMS has done a lot of education, advocacy, and support activities. Olivia Scott is 25. She is the youngest candidate in this race by quite a long shot. And Emmett Butts is a teacher in Cabarrus County, I think, not really well-known here yet. His campaign manager says he's well-known in surrounding counties.
But he lives in Mecklenburg?
He lives in Mecklenburg, right. And this district goes right up to the Cabarrus County lines. Right.
So District 4 is up next. No incumbent once again. Tom Tate has decided to step down from representing this East Charlotte district. He's backing Carol Sawyer, who's making her first run for office. Her opponent is Queen Thompson, attempting her third run. Stephanie Sneed is another newcomer who has been endorsed by the Black Political Caucus. What makes this district different? How do these candidates reflect those differences? What are voters in that district looking for? Dedrick.
Well, you know, Carol Sawyer, she has been to, like, policy committee meetings. So, you know, she has been there and all the way. And I know that she is an advocate on bringing back the equity committee. And I know that, you know, making sure that African Americans are getting what they need out of CMS, I know that that is going to be a main issue in this this race. You know, I get, name recognition is what it is, and also the endorsements. You know, if you don't want to do the homework to figure out who I need to vote for, if you're leaning on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Area Association, if you're leaning on the Black Political Caucus or the Charlotte Observer, you will rely on them to do your homework. So this is going to be a very interesting race because, you know, because Queen Thompson, she's very passionate about what she's going out for. And then, you know, Stephanie Sneed, she also got an endorsement. So it's just going to be very interesting with this race.
You described Carol Sawyer as sharing an endorsement with Stephanie Sneed from the Charlotte Mecklenburg Association of Educators. She's an activist. She founded Mecklenburg ACTS. She likes the paired school approach, which the student assignment plan has suddenly put into place. Sneed believes a moratorium on K-2 suspensions is a step toward providing equal opportunities for all students. Queen Thompson, a retired social worker, believes her background gives her the best insights into helping students who face challenges. Which message is likely to resonate?
That's a great question. Okay. I think Carol is like the default incumbent. She was really active in One MEC, which became very well known during the students. If you know anything about this, you know Carol, and you either really want her in or you really don't want her in. And these other two are going to be, you know, I think really competing for the people who think she's not a good
choice. District 5 is another district in which an incumbent has decided not to run. Eric Davis, former school board chair and a very big force on the school board for years, leaving the field to Margaret Marshall, Jim Peterson, and Jeremy Stevenson. Talk about the district itself.
It is kind of the power wedge, that little chunk of South Charlotte, not all the way down to the border, but some of the most prestigious neighborhoods. This is always a district where spending outstrips any of the others. We have Margaret Marshall has raised more than $50,000 in a race where very few other candidates in any of the districts have raised more than $10,000. So it has a voice.
So assuming that people liked the kind of leadership and the positions that Eric Davis, who held that seat for so long, took, and wasn't he at large for a while and then he took a district seat, Eric Davis, or am I wrong?
No, he's always been district, but he was elected chair as a district.
Okay, so if people liked what he thought, who would they choose to replace him?
Margaret Marshall. He has made it clear that that's who he endorses. She's got kind of a long list of endorsements from people in those circles.
And she says, as having been a PTA officer, that it's time to take a breath on big initiatives and focus on growth and learning. While Jim Peterson says he's a fan of neighborhood schools and talks about building fundamental math and reading skills. District 6.
Oh, we did skip Jeremy Stevenson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We should say him also because he is the intensely Republican.
Yes, he is.
He is a Republican.
I believe
he has his child in a charter school, and he pitches that as he's sort of the vocal advocate, and she's the person who's been behind the scenes doing the work. And I think voters will decide which of those they like better.
No incumbent in District 6. Where is it?
It is that little south wedge that goes, it almost looks like a little check mark. It basically carves off the south suburbs, a little bit of west and a lot of east.
Two candidates, Alan Smith and Sean Strain. What are they advocating for, Dedrick?
Well, I know Sean Strain. I know he works with the group that meets right after Tuesday Morning Breakfast Club.
Charlotte Mecklenburg,
United
CMS
Education.
Families United for Public Education.
Yes, yes, yes. He works strongly with them. And I think the Paul Bailey has endorsed Sean Strain. So so District 6, that involves the Matthews-Mint Hill area. And as Jim Puckett was saying, that there is legislation right now for that section to create its own charter school. So therefore, you know, you're going to have to ask them, are you for Matthews Mint Hill developing its own charter school, or are you for them staying with CMS and making it better?
And Alan Smith is his polar opposite. This is the classic case of if you don't vote, or if you walk in and go, eeny, miny, meeny, meeny, miny, oh, shame on you, because Alan Smith is unaffiliated, describes himself as progressive. Sean Strain is Republican, fairly conservative. Alan Smith has said he would like to reopen student assignment and not immediately turn it over, but go toward the controlled choice, which is a real hot button topic in that area.
That would break the link between where you live and what school you go to. And Sean Strain wants neighborhood schools.
And one thing with District 6, student assignment plan is going to be reopened sooner rather than later. They usually say every 6 years, but it's going to be done sooner rather than later. And those schools that were not touched this go-round will be touched next go-round. And we're talking about District 6. Those schools probably will be touched next go-round. So you're going to have a strong District 6 person who's going to stand up for the people.
So we have 10 seconds. Given the fact that there's so many races here with no incumbent, this is going to change the face of the school board. It's an off-year election. How's that going to impact this voter turnout?
It means that very few people make very important decisions.
Okay. Ann Doss Helms, education reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Dedrick Russell, education reporter for WBTV.
All right. On your side.
Thanks for the hour.